All right. Well, welcome everybody. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for hanging on for while we've gathered our quorum together. It is November 13th, and we're starting at about 11:44 here in beautiful Monument Valley. My name is Evan Curtis. I'm the chair of the Navajo Revitalization Fund Board. Let's go ahead and get started with introductions. Let's first go to our board member here in the room, Martha.
Good morning. My name is Martha Sackboy. I'm appointed as the chapter president up to the end of December next year, so, and then serving on the NRF board.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. And then let's go online to our board members. So, Sylvia?
Hello. I'm Sylvia Stubbs, and I'm one of the county commissioners from San Juan County. Happy to
Thanks so much for being here.
And I want to say that I do have another Zoom meeting at 1 o'clock. So.
Okay, yeah, well, this should be a pretty short one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, and let's go to Herman, who is our designee from the Navajo Utah Commission today.
Oh, yeah, hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone there. Others that are also online, say good morning. Herman Farley, Red Mesa Chapter President. Glad to be on with this meeting to make a quorum. Thank you very much.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. And why don't we just go ahead and stay on online, the others from the Navajo Utah Commission?
Good morning. This is Stephanie Holly, and I'm with Navajo Utah Commission.
Clarence Rockwell, Navajo Utah Commission as well.
Great. Thanks for joining. And Carver?
Carver Black, financial manager with the Department of Workforce Services over the Revitalization Fund.
Great, thanks for being on. Is there anyone else online?
Kaylee Beck is on there, finance, DWS.
Kaylee?
Good job, I'm from DWS, Carver.
Awesome, thank you so much for being here. And let's bring it back to the room and just, you can start here with Tony and go around.
All right, Tony Daish, administrator with the State of Utah Navajo Trust Fund.
Howard Tony and co-worker at Utah Trust Fund.
Frank Ward, Utah Navajo Trust Fund construction supervisor.
Paul Moberly with the Navajo Revitalization Fund.
Chris Piper, legal counsel.
Mari Berkman, finance manager of the trust fund.
Byron Clark, chief operations of Utah Navajo Health.
Mike Jensen, CEO here.
All right. And thanks so much for hosting us. We really appreciate it. All right. I don't think we missed anyone, so let's go ahead to agenda item number 2, approval of the minutes from the meeting of September 15th. All right, we have a motion to approve the minutes. Do you have a second?
Second motion, Farley.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion to the motion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Okay, Herman and Sylvia?
Aye.
Okay, she's nodding her head. I don't think we can, she looks like she's on mute, but we have a visual vote, so thank you.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Sylvia. All right, it is unanimous. Okay. All right, we'll go to item number 3, fund report. Paul, do you want to just walk us through that real quick?
Yeah. So these are the balances as of the 9th. ANF has $359,426. Tenihotso has $67,036. Mexican Water Chapter has $249,163. Navajo Mountain has $346,285. Old Jato has $950,722. Red Mesa has $170,557. Tisnos Post has $238,460. There's nothing in the non-chapter at this time, and we have $81,621 in interest at this time. Those are available balances.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Paul. Are there any questions from the board on the fund balances? All right. Hearing none, we'll keep it moving. Going on to agenda item number 4, And Paul, if you want to just walk us through the grants we have expiring soon so we can be aware of that.
Yep. Real quick, we have there's a list in the packet of the grants that will be expiring at the end of this year, calendar year. Just giving the board a heads up and so we can work through which one of those we're going to be renewing and which one we're going to let pass. So
great.
I'll work with Tony and his team on all that as well.
Great. Thanks so much. All right. So we'll just be prepared to take that up at our next meeting if as needed. All right. And then these next few, we have a couple of recommended policy adjustments that we just wanted to introduce today. Given that we're light on board members, we'll probably just go through these quick just so you can be aware of them, and then we'll probably have a more in-depth discussion in a future meeting. But we do want to make sure that our policies are very rigorous and able to direct staff on how to accept and move forward on applications as early in the process as possible. And just so everyone's aware of what the expectations are as a board. So Paul, I'll just turn that to you to kind of introduce those and then probably treat most of these as an agenda item or an information item today, like I say, but then we can discuss them in more depth at a future meeting.
Perfect. So the first one is in our current policies, there is an item that says that we restrict the amount, the total amount of NRF funds to any home project to $85,000. We had a previous discussion about this item at last meeting or meeting before the board discussed this. And so we thought it'd be prudent to put it on the agenda and to move forward with that or to discuss that more and figure out what the right kind of range is. And we had a discussion before about the per square foot costs and things like that that NTF uses. The next one was, sorry, I got to move my, there we go.
I have a question.
Oh, hey, go ahead, Herman.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to question this item. I'm not up to date with the NRF board meeting, what was on the agenda prior. Anyhow, does this mean that the NRF can only match fund up to $85,000, and any other funds can be add on with other sources?
Yeah. So yeah, right now we are limited to $85,000 on any housing project specifically.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Go on.
Yep. Let's go on.
Okay.
Unless there are other questions on that one from the board. Like I say, this is primarily for information today.
From the pump. Okay. Let's see. So the next item is, so in the statute, it talks about that the board shall determine the order in which projects are funded. Internal to DWS, we had, our program was under internal audit. This is and still is. And one of the things they brought up was that we don't have this necessarily spelled out in any kind of policy or rule or anything like that. So they encouraged us to do so. I think, I mean, that more kind of looks at just given that our funding that we have it on unallocated balances from each chapter and all that, I think really that what that looks like is maybe the order on the agenda, if nothing else, just kind of guidance on what order the board wants to see those things. Cause that's usually the order that we do fund. We do motions and fund things. So that would be just something to keep in mind, whether do it, you know, alphabetically or however, I don't know what the best one would be, but we can have some thoughts next time.
Yeah. And that was going to be my one question is if there is a standard best practice or something that staff would recommend, we consider.
I have some thoughts, but we can do that in discussion maybe.
Okay.
Chair, I'm not sure what this is talking about. Can you give us a little bit of an idea?
In the statute?
Well, just when it says determined to order.
Yeah. So, I mean, it says that in statute that the board shall, and I think that's almost a quote right out of it, determine the order in which projects are funded.
And it sounds like the real concern is DWS internal audits. They want to see some kind of like
like structure around things.
Structure, priority, process. And so statutorily, I have no issues with anything the board wants to do. It sounds like this is more a checkbox for the internal audit process.
Yeah. And I mean, there's stuff in statute about prioritization too already. So we don't have to worry necessarily about prioritizing projects, or it says there's things saying that the board shall give preference to these types of projects, but there's nothing about the order, which is,
okay.
I guess, I think that's their beef. Not beef. They just suggest, they just wanted something in place.
Sure.
To encourage that. So.
But it sounds, oh, Herman, did you have a comment?
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Okay. Was there a comment online?
Oh, no. I have my phone over here on mute.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, so it sounds like we have some pretty wide latitude in what we could consider. So it could be the order in which they were received. It could be alphabetical.
Exactly.
Something to think about. And like I say, for right now, this is just to prime the pump. But for our next meeting, it would be helpful if you have any strong preferences to consider that for our next meeting. All right. Any other comments on that one?
Sir.
Yes.
Herman, going back
go
to
ahead.
Yeah, I'm going back to the $85,000 NRF match fund. The limitation for housing fund. You know, I was kind of wondering why is that to be that way? So who made that decision? Or is it just still up for discussion for recommendation for approval? Is it already been approved or what?
Oh, so the $85,000 is currently our policy, and it has been that way. It was in our housing policy we adopted in 2011 or 2012 somewhere. It's been on the books for a while. We're looking at the discussion or whatever when that happens at the next meeting. We want to change that to probably increase it. I think we had a board discussion about it a couple meetings ago, and it seemed like the board had some thoughts about what that could be, but it was generally to increase it just given inflation and and it had been that way for 10 years plus. And so think costs have changed and, so sorry, does that help in the context?
In that regard, if I may. Yeah. If there could be, a change of or increase of this match fund, would that require a chapter resolution to support that?
No, I think it's just a policy for the board. So all it just the board needs to decide what they want to do and make the change, and then we'll have a motion in the board meeting, and then if it needs to probably go to rule, is that, or I don't know, Chris. It's currently just a policy, so. But yeah, I don't think a chapter resolution is needed for that.
Okay. And just for context, Tony, what does UNTF use? Do they have a cap?
We have a cap of we publish a cap every year.
Okay.
And it's approved by the board. It's in the budget, basically. So for this year, it's $105 a square foot.
Okay.
So that's how we go by. In the past, the NRF policy used to read $100,000 was the limit, but it was limiting all sources, so it didn't matter whether it was non-NRF money or not.
Okay.
So we had that change to where that's when it changed to just $85,000. But that was only governing NRF contribution only to $85,000.
Okay.
So
we could consider doing something similar or something else. So yeah, something to be thinking about over the next, couple of months as we, get ready to implement that. So, all right. Any other, questions on or discussion on 4B or 4C?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead, Herman.
Yeah. I strongly think and believe that any changes, policy change, or any amendment to be made on the policy or the are within the statute. I strongly believe that we, the beneficiary of this trust fund, of this NRF fund, should have a say-so in it. Not only by the board only, but, you know, it could also be we the beneficiary at the chapter level could also be some discussion recommendation. What will be at the best possibility that will greatly benefit our beneficiaries. That's what I think as a chapter official. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, appreciate that feedback, Herman. And yeah, that's part of why we wanted to bring it up today, so you could have that opportunity to have that discussion, and so we could get that feedback. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to 4D, and you can just, Paul, if you could just give us a quick overview of that one as well.
Yeah. So in the statute, it states, under that, on the agenda item, it says has the statute number, but it states that the board may not fund projects which operate or are located outside of the Navajo Reservation in San Juan County. And, we've had some project proposals or discussions recently that were not that just we thought it would be useful to have the board discuss what they want to do relative to putting any if there's any desire to put any kind of constraints or any like opinion on how we interpret that statute to mean, like what does it mean to be outside or what does it mean to operate inside. And that's really more what we would just want to kind of get the board's direction and an opinion and clarification as far as how they want to kind of interpret that as we move forward.
Okay, great. Any questions or discussion from the board on that item?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking that at one point Mexican Water had recommended to build a house for a public safety officer who was Navajo, registered to Mexican Water, but had bought a place outside the reservation, but still in San Juan County.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, is that what you're looking at or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
But that project never went through. It went through, but it was never, the individual moved way outside. It didn't come up. I'm just thinking, is it something like that?
Yeah, those are the types of situations. And I think what we're hoping for is just to have some clarity so we don't have to take them, you know, one by one as they come in. And, you know, if we have the policy in place beforehand, it helps the applicants to know what the expectations are. And so we can be clear and also make sure that we're compliant with the state statute on it as well and don't have to make those decisions as they come up. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. So,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments on that one? All right. In that case, let us go ahead. And I know we're getting short on time, so let's go ahead and move to agenda item number 5, our project application for today. And Paul, if you just want to give us a rundown on this application.
Okay. Yeah. So we have one project from Tisano's Post. It's for Karen Begay. As I understand it, her home burnt down at the beginning of this year, and there's a number of other funds involved in this, but they came in asking for $69,360 to help with that reconstruction of her home.
All right. Are there any questions or discussion on this application item?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I was reading the resolution here from Tisano's Post. It says that to approve housing funding for 4 San Juan County, Utah residents. Then it lists on number 5, it lists the client's name. And then there's a specific resolution that goes to Karen Begay, which they indicate on the first resolution. Is that how it's going to be, or is that, is this, they're just going with Karen's first?
Oh, okay. And yeah, Paul, do you have a comment on that and how the application was received?
Yeah, I mean, I got those both together. So, I mean, we frequently do get resolutions that include multiple different people in them, and we don't necessarily see all those applications. They might go into some of it to the trust fund, some of it to us. The funding makeup is different always, but hey, Tony. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, it's going to be all four, but they're just going with Karen Begay because its scope of work is pretty clear on that one. The other one, the chapter is working on the scope of work as far as renovation on those buildings. They're trying to define what that scope of work is. And then the trust fund would go in there and do the material list and cost estimates on those, get that information back to them, and it should appear in another meeting later on.
And then I have a question. I'm just questioning the resolution, the first resolution. Motion by LCD, and then her name appears up here on 5, and then Alison with her, Elsie's name appears on 5. I don't know how the policy works. I would see it as a conflict of interest or something. I don't know. Just a question.
Yeah, I always questioned that too, but for some reason the chapters always get the requesting parties to motion and second, and that's kind of what they do. And even for our dinner committee members, a lot of times they like whoever's representing DeSantis would make the motion or the second, and I always think it should be others, but that's usually the way that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how their rules of order are set up, but that's my thought.
That's a good observation.
Usually, in Mexican Water, I usually inform the members saying that if you're asking for anything, you can't motion and say that motion to approve whatever you're requesting because you're in conflict. Somebody else has to motion, and because, you know, I would say that. I'm just thinking.
And just for information, the second resolution came out back in January or February when the House first down, and they were asking for, you know, any and all kinds of help, you know, from Red Cross or whatever. That's what that was. And then the second one that came out was specifically for the housing to request to trust fund and also to interact.
Okay. Thanks for the context on that.
Other than that, I'll just guess that motion.
Okay. So we have a motion on the table to approve this project. Is there a second? Commissioner Stubbs or Herman? Sylvia, I think you might be on mute still.
Yeah.
Can't tell. I think it looks like you're trying to talk.
It's too much light in the room, and I can't see a little. I second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion to that motion?
Yeah, I have a question.
Right. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Herman.
Yeah, I was on mute. I was just kind of talking to myself. My question is that there's two Karen Begay. There's one in Arizona and there's one in Utah. Is this Karen Begay over at the late Daisy Brown mom?
That's correct. That's Daisy Brown's daughter. Okay. Right next to Daisy Brown's house.
That's the one that has the house burned down?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
In favor.
We can't hear you, Sylvia. Are you voting in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that came through. All right, and I am also an aye. All right, all voting unanimously in favor. Rule that passes. Thank you so much, board. With that, we'll move on to our final agenda item, which is board member issues. And
If you look at the agenda, you can see we have some proposed meeting dates. Our next one is not until after the legislative session. Paul, you mentioned that there may be some more applications coming in, and so we may need to play it by ear if there are some urgent ones. We may try to do something sooner than that. But otherwise, as board members look at this agenda, are there any dates that are of concern that you don't think you'd be able to make and we ought to be aware of?
You can send me a link. That'd be good. I don't have it on my screen.
Okay.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah, and Herman, we'll go ahead and, Paul, if you can send that to him. Just take a look at it and let us know if there are any concerns. I'm assuming that you may continue to be the designee from the Navajo Utah Commission. If not, if you can please share that, make sure that Curtis has that, and if someone else is the delegate moving forward, that they're aware of it as well. So yeah, if not, let's go ahead and just continue to plan on those, but certainly we have some flexibility if we need to make adjustment as the year goes on. But, all right. With that wraps up our agenda. You have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
All right, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. We really appreciate it.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much,
Mr. Senator. Thanks, Herman.